Welcome to the Key Beauty Podcast, a love letter to all things Key Beauty, hosted by me, Ulrike, from Sugar Peaches Loves, a German English beauty blog dedicated to beauty products from around the world, with a special passion for Asian and indie brands. Guys, the world is a scary mess these days, and so I felt the best thing we can do is just allow ourselves some time out for an hour or so, catching up on, well, what else, all the exciting Key Beauty products that are currently getting me through the day. So grab yourselves a beverage of your choice for today's very chill, very low-key Key Beauty catch-up. Hi guys, welcome back. It's been a bit longer than I wanted, but you're probably used to that at this point. I was really happy about the positive feedback I got from the last episode. I always want to say last week's episode, but of course it was more than a week. I got so many really nice messages from you guys. It was nice to be back. It is still so much work to do this podcast, and still there aren't that many downloads. And I just keep seeing other people just instantly soar with their beauty podcasts. So it's still hard for me to stay motivated, I'm going to be honest. But I really appreciate sort of the core audience that is always very supportive and active. And I was really happy also to be shouted out by Odile, who, again, you have to watch a video on the Korean sunscreen scandal if you haven't yet. She also released a couple of new videos that are all so interesting. Anyway, just watch her videos. It was nice to hear from people that I succeeded in what was my main goal with this discussion of the Korean sunscreen scandal, which I was really reluctant to talk about again. We're going to talk about it a little bit today, too, because there were a couple of updates, or rather one big update that I wanted to mention, but... You know, it's been over almost a year now that this has been going on, and it's just tiring. And as I said, it has led to, I believe, a lot of misunderstandings and unfounded xenophobia and anti-Asian sentiments. So for me, my main goal with that particular episode was really just to have a calm, measured discussion that doesn't paint any of this as a black and white, all Korean sunscreens are like this, or all the entire Korean beauty industry is like this, because that's just nonsense. And also to not feed into the scandal. That is what I'm the most scared of whenever I do address the sunscreen controversy or any of the controversies that are going on in the beauty and skinfluencer world. There are a couple of channels that really just profit from scandal, and I find that repulsive. I don't think it is a very productive way to talk about beauty. So yeah, for me, it was mostly important to just inform without feeding into the greed for scandal, because that makes me uncomfortable. So it was really nice to get the feedback from you guys that apparently I managed to stay measured from your point of view. And that was really nice to hear, because that was the most important thing to me. That, and really giving out the information in a sort of concise way, and make sure that you get all the sources where you can look this up as well, and support the creators that I think deserve support versus the ones that just feed off the scandal and steal other people's content and then rehash the same content in their videos. So anyway, I hope you're all doing well. I think just like last year, this is a bit of a weird time, because exactly like last year, we can see COVID cases are rising. Even though there is a vaccine now, people are still hesitant to get vaccinated. I was so relieved to get my second shot. I got it at the end of July, and it's only a couple more days until I have officially fully vaccinated status. It's usually around 14-ish days after you get your second shot. I got BioNTech, and I really don't understand. I have to say, I don't understand how people can be hesitant to get a life-saving, potentially life-saving medication. Please get vaccinated It is really safe. I can happily share my experiences with getting vaccinated. I was scared of it, but that's because, not because I don't trust vaccines, but because I have a general sort of, I wouldn't call it a phobia, I wouldn't go that far, but since as far back as I can remember, even as a small child, I would be scared of medicine. I would always be the sort of person to read the leaflet with all this, you know, what can happen, reactions that could happen, and then be convinced I have them. So a bit of a hypochondriac, I think not to the level that it is really debilitating, but I do always feel uncomfortable having to take any sort of drug, even painkillers. I wait until the last second when the pain is really bad. So it's more about that. And I have anxiety in larger crowds. And I went to one of the vaccination centers where there was a large crowd. Thankfully, I was happy to see it. But also, you know, after being isolated for so long, that's quite a lot of social contact in one day. So I was nervous with both shots, but not, again, because I don't trust the vaccine, but just because for me, it's always a bit scary to be. I think it's just more about getting a substance, any sort of substance, and you don't know what it's going to do. Because I'm also totally not a person that takes drugs, you know, recreational drugs, not even, I'm so boring, I don't even smoke weed or anything. But again, I think it's mostly because I'm so terrified that it could have any sort of reaction that is out of my control. So I think it's more maybe a control issue. So anyway, after the first shot, first of all, the first shot in particular, the nurse that gave me the shot, she was just magical because I did not feel it. I remember getting the hepatitis vaccine when I traveled to Egypt. That was like a long time ago. And it was really painful to get the shot. The needle was really painful. This one, she even explained it to me when I got the second shot. The nurse then said, yeah, these are extra special needles and it's really almost not, you really don't even feel it. That was incredible to me. I had to sit there for 30 minutes instead of the usual 15 after the vaccine because I am allergic to, I have some sort of sensitivity to aspirin. And so they just wanted to make sure because there was one sort of counter reaction to drugs that I definitely don't have any reactions. I did not. My arms started to get really sore. So sore. I feel people downplay how much the arm starts hurting. Or maybe mine just was really bad. I really don't know. But I thought it would just hurt around the area where you get the shot. And soreness to me just felt like it would be a little bit. I don't know, maybe sore muscles, but no, it hurts like hell. I could not move my arm. The symptoms started roughly, I would say 12-ish hours after I got the shot. I got it early in the morning. Towards the evening, I did notice I got a little bit tired and I got dizzy. I have problems with vertigo anyway, so I felt maybe it was aggravating whatever that was going on there. Could also be anxiety because I'm still not sure if my vertigo isn't just anxiety related. So who knows? But it was a bit uncomfortable and I just felt like, you know how you feel before you get ill? You kind of can tell because you feel just a little bit off without being fully sick. That's how I felt with the first shot. And then again, the arm was just, I could not actually use the computer. I could only type with the right arm, but I couldn't use my left arm at all. It was so, so heavy and sore. That was crazy to me because I didn't expect it to be that intense. But again, it wasn't super terrible. It did last for quite a while, I would say almost 2 days, but then everything was just normal. I did also notice a lot of women have talked about this, or a lot of menstruating people, I should say, have talked about this, that my period was off. It's funny because I told those symptoms to people in the vaccination center and they all said, oh, we've never heard this before. That is completely new. And I just told them, you know what? I think it's probably because none of the menstruating people usually probably tells that to predominantly male doctors who will probably not believe them because they kind of looked at me doubtfully as well. And I don't even know if they recorded it. So yeah, that's why I'm sharing it here as well, because I feel more people need to talk about this. My period was quite a bit earlier, I think like 4 or 5 days. That never happens. I'm one of those people who's super regular, have been all my life. Maybe sometimes I'm 2 or 3 days later because sometimes I get cysts and then my period can be a bit delayed, but never, I mean never in my entire life have I been that many days early. And I'm about to get my period now and I'm curious to see if the second shot also will cause irregularities. The period was also kind of, you know how you have heavy days and less heavy days and you kind of know which days are heavy? For me, a lot of that was different. I have a super heavy period anyway, but it felt like, I don't know how to describe it, but the days, the frequency of the bleeding was kind of off, was very different from usual. And I did also have really intense cramps, which is also not normal for me. I get a little bit of cramping usually during the fourth day, but I got super intense cramps right before, which was really strange because, again, it doesn't usually happen. And also, I think on the fifth day even, I had really intense cramps. So yeah, that was very strange. The second shot, I was so scared of the second shot because so many people say, oh my God, this is when you get the really heavy symptoms, everything's so terrible. I did not get much. I would say this is the first dose was actually worse for me. The second one, I would say I was tired. And I had a bit of insomnia. That was annoying. I kept waking up every hour or so. But otherwise, again, got a bit dizzy, but not as bad as the first time. Not even remotely as bad, actually. Yeah, mostly I would say fatigue, but not even a little bit of headache as well. But then we also had weird weather, very humid weather and very sort of one day was super hot, the next day was rainy and cold. So it might also be weather related. Mostly I just felt a bit tired. But I would say the first shot was worse because of the arm thing, which I didn't have this time at all. All in all, I would still give it a 10 out of 10 because everything is better than long COVID or, you know, dying or suffering. I think this is something that people also don't understand who always say, oh, it's just, you know, a bit of COVID, no problem. Well, and just 0.1% die, that's nothing, and they're all old people. But first of all, how awfully cruel to think that once you're over 60, you just might as well die. Because guess what? You can still live decades long and you can live a good and healthy life. People need to stop thinking that your life is over once you're 60 and you might as well just be dead. That's a horrible way of looking at life. If this pandemic has taught me anything negatively, it's really how little people care about other people. I was truly naive about this. And I still don't quite know how to live with that knowledge. Because to me, knowing that I can contribute to people being safer by getting vaccinated, to me is a privilege and an honor and makes me very, very happy. And for that, I really didn't have to suffer at all. It was all super easy. And what a miracle vaccines are. What a miracle that we have this, that we can prevent the death of millions and millions of people. Yeah, I don't know. Sorry for this rant. Actually, not sorry, because I am really passionate about this and I get very scared for what's to come in autumn and winter when COVID cases are going to rise, which is where we kind of are right now, as I said, exactly like last year. And guess what? People still haven't learned their lesson, which is great. So I keep joking to other people if they've already planned all their hobbies that they're going to learn in the next lockdown. Yeah, we'll see if we get one. I don't actually think so here in Germany because overall enough people still are keen to get vaccinated. Also because there's a general election in September. So I feel that the government party is probably not gonna risk angering their more right-wing base. Yeah, so that anxiety is also kind of looming over most of our German heads at the moment, the general election, which is a filthy one. And given that we just had super severe floodings right in the area where my mother lives, actually, where I grew up, we need a bit of a change, but I'm not quite sure the German people are ready for a change yet. So we'll see what that will bring. Also in autumn, I'm telling you, autumn 2021, you heard it from me, I feel it's going to be super intense. I don't know. I have this feeling. It's not fully an ominous feeling, but it is a feeling of, yeah, that's going to be one of those times. I mean, we keep living through unprecedented times, but I feel this autumn is going to be one that might, I don't want to say go in the history books, but I feel we will talk about whatever will happen for a long time, is what I think. But given that that is the case, and we're all anxious. I mean, I don't know. You can let me know. Are you as anxious as me? I'm just constantly in existential dread, pretty much. The only thing keeping me alive is, well, first of all, my sister visited with her family, so that was amazing. We met up a couple of times, always, of course, very socially distanced, but they're all vaccinated as well and have been for a while. Well, the kids haven't, but yeah, they're all COVID-free, and we are very careful with all of these things. But just to see my two nieces, who are amazing, they're such cool kids, I love them, and to see my sister and just hang out with her, and it was just good for my soul. And then I still go on daily walks and thankfully see so many neighborhood cats. I can't have a cat because my apartment is too tiny and it's not allowed here. But I am such a crazy cat person, so I just chase all the neighborhood cats on my walks. Some of them know me by now. And that is not always a good thing because there's two cats that I think are really annoyed by me. I just see it in their eyes, like, oh my god, it's a crazy lady again who keeps chasing us. We already told her we don't want any pets. Keep her away from us. Oh my god, she's taking out her camera again. Ugh. Sort of that, I think, is the inner monologue. But most of the cats come for cuddles, and that keeps me going. It's one of the most important things. And the other is still doing my work. I did lose a really important freelance writing job, so... Yeah, if you know anyone who needs a beauty writer, I also write about lifestyle topics. I've done a lot of TikTok Gen Z sort of articles lately, which has been a lot of fun. I'm Gen X, so it's a very interesting experience looking at the way that particular generation interacts on social media and with social media. Super interesting. But also, of course, K-beauty. So if you need anyone to write about these topics or know anyone who needs a freelance writer experienced by now, let me know. And I already kind of said that in the last episode, which really very unexpectedly turned into a very long episode just about the Korean sunscreen scandal. I really underestimated how much there is to talk about. But I mean, I'm rambling today, so I underestimated that too. I wanted to do just a chill catch-up episode, just to get back into talking about Korean beauty products. And I thought I'd just do two parts. We'll see if I have to cut them up into two episodes again. But technically, I'm just planning on one episode with two parts. Firstly, I want to talk a little bit with you about products that I enjoy at the moment and have been enjoying these past weeks and months that I didn't podcast. Is that a verb? I don't know. And then in the second part, I want to talk about newer launches, but also sort of older products that I just haven't gotten around to trying or don't really have the money to buy, but that have been on my wish list for a while. So I chose 10 products and 11, I think, products. I was on 10 and then I remembered one more that really I want to talk about very, very desperately because it's amazing. So 11 products that I'm currently loving. And yeah, that's kind of what I'm planning. But for now, I also wanted to give, as I said, an update on the Korean sunscreen scandal situation. Just a short one, hopefully not another hour. And it is mostly from a recent video that director Pai launched. And she brought some new information, pretty brand new, I believe. I think June is the date when this happened. And I thought it would be interesting for you to know what's been happening when it comes to the government response. So the Ministry of Food and Drug Safety, so the MFDS, which is the Korean FDA, has placed a sales and marketing / advertising ban on three brands that were involved in the sunscreen scandal. So three K-beauty brands actually were penalized. It is a 2-month ban. And the reason stated is they broke Article 13 of the cosmetic law, which is concerned with the prohibition of false labeling and advertising. So they're being basically penalized for making false claims about their products. And the three brands in question are Purito, Quelle Surprise, Higi, and Claire's. So that is quite surprising. I have to say, this kind of confused me when she said they have been banned from selling product or marketing or advertising for 2 months. Because I don't know if the 2 months, have they already happened? Are they about to happen? I noticed after watching this video, and I actually double checked on the Wishtrend channels, actually Wishtrend has been very quiet about Claire's. Have you noticed this? Claire's products have not been advertised by them. They haven't launched any new Claire's products. So it seems that for Claire's, this ban might actually have happened and they are adhering to it. But Purito has been heavily marketing and selling their newer products. They have kind of relaunched. I don't know if you've noticed that, but they've kind of rebranded. The packaging looks different. They have a new, completely new lineup of products, and they are using a couple of influencers to market and to sell. And so I don't know what's going on there. Hiki, I haven't actually paid attention to because I haven't tried any of this stuff yet. I hear they have a new sunscreen that apparently is very good, but I don't know. I haven't tried any of their products. I'm wondering if this actually only refers to domestic sales, because you might not know this, but Purito for sure, and I believe also Hiki, although Hiki also sells at Olive Young, I think, but I know Purito actually is not popular within Korea. It is a purely overseas K-beauty brand, pretty much. I mean, they aren't sold in any of the drugstores in Korea. I never see them on any of the lists for best products. I don't think Korean influencers are aware of Purito. Korea-based, purely Korean focused influencers, I mean. Yeah, so maybe it only refers to domestic sales. But I really don't know. I'm just speculating completely here. Or the ban hasn't happened yet. But yeah, Purito definitely has been selling their stuff overseas. But again, Claire's has been very quiet lately. So I don't know what's going on there. But technically, they have been penalized. Director Pai says this herself, and I agree that 2 months is actually basically nothing. And she also says, and I agree with that too, why these three brands in particular, when there were so many brands involved with this? And also the two manufacturers that were actually culpable, the one that actually deceived and actively deceived, have not been penalized the way they should have. I think they had to pay a fine. I believe Odia talked about this, but I think the fine was very, very low, just a couple of thousand, like $10,000 or something like that. It was really quite low given all the damage that they cost. So overall, it is a little bit disappointing that they haven't been stricter on all of these brands and companies for lying to the consumers. They have implemented changes though, and they are working on changing the laws and closing that loophole that I talked about in the last episode. So let's see. Bureaucracy is always very slow to move, so it might take a while until we see any more updates. But I did want to share this one about the three brands that have been hit with a sales ban, though again, I'm not sure how that's actually implemented and what it actually means to when it comes to overseas sales. But yeah, that was the one update. And hopefully we don't have to talk about sunscreens anymore for a while, except good ones. All right, but now let's talk about something a lot more fun, and that is products that I'm currently loving. Anything that's currently on my vanity and in heavy rotation when it comes to my skincare routines. And the first, well, more brand than product I want to talk about is Rivectin. Now, Rivectin has been trending for quite a while. I was actually quite late to the party because I couldn't get my hands on the products for a while. But as soon as they were available at Wishtrend, they sent me a couple of products. Not just me, lots of people. I always send to, it seems, to everyone on my timeline. Actually, now I've been kicked off their PR list again because they are having issues with delivering to Germany, apparently. I don't know. Other brands manage just fine, so I don't know what's going on there. But yeah, I haven't gotten any of the newer stuff from Wishtrend. I know, it's a never-ending story with me and Wishtrend. Sometimes I'm in their good graces and sometimes they just completely forget about me. And then they suddenly remember I exist and like to remind me how much they value me after ghosting me for a year. Oh well. But Rivectin, I did get quite a lot of products from them and could try out many of the current favorites from the brand. And I am really, really impressed with a lot of their products. Not all of them. I've written a blog post about many of them. The Cica line, I wasn't that happy with, although the toner, the Cica toner, I did learn to love it after I at first didn't like it. I had an earlier version of the Cica toner. It's kind of a watery toner meant for oilier skin. The earlier version was fragranced, very heavily fragranced with lavender essential oil. I don't mind a bit of essential oil, but when it's very heavy, I do feel it can be irritating on the skin. And a lot of people avoid especially lavender altogether because it can be a trigger for all sorts of sensitivities. So I did criticize that, and a couple of other people did too. And Rovecting actually took that to heart and reformulated the toner, and apparently now it's fragrance-free. So I'm very impressed by that. The things that I've really, really, really been loving from them are two products in particular. First of all, the Rovectin Skin Essentials Conditioning Cleanser, which I've already used up and I really, really want to repurchase because it's so nice. It's probably one of the gentlest foaming cleansers I've ever tried. I can't see anyone's skin not liking this, to be honest. Some people might not like it because it isn't a very aggressive cleanser. So some people might have this feeling that it doesn't cleanse the skin enough. It does, though. Like, it's a fine cleanser as a second step cleanser. If you have waterproof sunscreens or use very heavy makeup, you have to use an oil-based cleanser anyways as a first step. In general, I would say it's a really fine cleanser. I really enjoyed using it, especially in the mornings. It's so gentle. You really feel no irritation whatsoever. No stripping. It only uses the gentlest of surfactants. It is alcohol-free, fragrance-free, all the good stuff. The foam is soft, and I think this is a fantastic cleanser. Also, very reasonably priced. So I feel this is one of those cleansers that you can universally recommend to most skin types, and especially beginners, skincare beginners would do really well with this cleanser because it's just a fuss-free, really wonderful product. And also, I think it's a good one to recommend to, I hate buying into the stereotype myself, but I know a lot of guys are like that, to men who might be reluctant to start a skincare routine because it's, again, super fuss-free. It doesn't smell of anything. The bottle is very neutral, very minimalist, just a wonderful product. This is kind of like a family product. You can clean your whole body with this. Yeah, affordable, gentle, universally usable. Of course, you can always have your own sort of, your mileage may vary, negative experiences, but I would say generally, on a general level, I would say this one I would recommend to pretty much all skin types who are looking for a very gentle and positively minimalist cleanser that is also affordable. So well done, Rovectin. Now, the other product from Rovectin I really like, I don't know why I keep saying Rovectin so weirdly, Rovectin is their Clean LHA Blemish Ampoule. So LHA is actually another derivative of salicylic acid. So it's a BHA, and LHA stands for beta lipohydroxy acid. This is a transparent gel that is mostly aimed at, I would say, more oilier skin. LHA, as I said, is a BHA, so it is for oily skin, but it is a lot more gentle. So it's lipophilic, which means it can interact with the oil in your pores. I believe the molecules are larger than regular salicylic acid, and so it works very well for very sensitive skin because it is a more sensitive polishing and refining and oil cleansing action. And I really enjoyed it. I actually want to try more LHA products if I can. It isn't used that much. I believe that L'Oreal had the patent on it. I don't know how Rovectin managed to get a hold on it, because I read somewhere that only L'Oreal brands can use it. Who knows? It's not affiliated to L'Oreal, because I checked, because I felt, oh, maybe it's like a secret L'Oreal brand, but it's not. It is an independent Korean brand. So I don't know, maybe the patent fell or they bought it from L'Oreal. Who knows? But yeah, that's what I read. And you see it in a lot of La Roche-Posay, Effaclar products, for instance, they use it. So I'm kind of keen to try more products with it, because I really enjoyed the effect, because I could tell it is less. Sometimes I find salicylic acid a little bit too much for my skin. I believe I read somewhere it is an anti-inflammatory, but for me, it actually causes a bit of redness. So it's an interesting alternative for me personally. What I really like about the Clean LHA Blemish Ampoule, which I have to say at first I didn't like it and only slowly learned to enjoy it, it does have a bit of alcohol in it. So I think I had this impression at first. I feel it was more my head than the actual effect on the skin. I felt it was a bit drying. It actually isn't. I don't know. I think because I read alcohol, I just kind of made that assumption, which is weird because I always preach to you guys that a little bit of alcohol is usually actually okay as long as you're not that sensitive. So I don't know what happened there in my head, but it actually is not, I wouldn't say it's drying. What it is it's very light. So I do think it doesn't work as well for mature skin. It certainly is not that great for dry skin. But if you have oily skin or oily combo skin, I have mature combo skin, but in summer it can get quite oily. And I used a larger version of the LHA Blemish Ampoule. At first I had a tiny 50 ml version that I used, I believe, in autumn. And I was so about it. But when I used the larger version during hotter weather, I was really, really, really in love with it. The formula is just so nice. It's easily absorbable. It is a little bit tacky, a tiny bit sticky, but because it sinks in fast, I think it's not too bad. And it really just helps keep the skin fresh and very clean looking, I would say. So for me, another really great minimalist product that had a really nice effect on the... Yeah, I would say sort of the clarity of my skin. Yeah, so I would really say Revectin just keeps being interesting to me. They have a couple of new products. They also have the Lotus Water Cream that I really want to try. A lot of influencers really like this one, although a lot of them are also sponsored. I'm not saying everything that is sponsored is dishonest, because I myself sometimes get sponsored and only partner up with brands that I already love or know I will love. But yeah, sometimes some of the Revectin praise maybe gets a bit out of hand. Some of their products are fantastic. Some are so-so. Some are, in my opinion, not as great as people say. Their sheet masks also are really good, by the way. So those I also really, really liked. Their cleansing water I didn't like at all. So, you know, hit or miss. But in general, I would say if you have sensitive skin and if you have combo skin or oily skin that is also at the same time very sensitive, this is a brand I would look out for. And I think it's also a great brand for younger teenage 20s skin that isn't quite sure yet where to go when it comes to building up a skincare routine. So the next product I really liked, so much so that I'm so sad that I finished it up and I just kind of need it back in my life. But again, I'm trying to save some money and I've also been kicked off. I don't think I've been kicked off. I think Wishtrend just forgot about me. So I used to get 5 products from Wishtrend every 4 months, but I haven't gotten anything in like half a year, I think. So unfortunately, I can't order some new PR. God, that is really a first world problem, isn't it? The product I'm talking about are the I'm From Mugwort sheet masks. Now, the I'm From Mugwort essence is, of course, a staple for many skinfluencers, and I really enjoyed it too. I liked it a lot, and I would happily repurchase it. I do find it a tiny bit overpriced, if I'm honest, and I also really would like to try some of the other Artemisia Mugwort essences, especially the Misha one. I feel Misha is one of those brands that just constantly gets overlooked for some reason, and they have so many amazing products. So in my head, I have a sneaking suspicion that I might actually end up liking the Misha one better once I try it. But the sheet masks, the I'm From sheet masks with mugwort, are without a doubt outstanding. I would say some of my favorite masks I've tried in a long, long time. They are just so simple. They just have this very simple, again, fragrance-free. Well, it smells of mugwort, but that's just this sort of earthy green smell that mugwort just has. But the essence is just basically humectants and mugwort extract and not much else. Whenever my skin was, I had a 10 pack of the sheet masks, again, sadly now used up. I need those back in my life so badly. Whenever my skin is just, you know, freaking out because of hormonal issues or after being in the sun for too long, it's a fantastic after sun mask. So, so good. Just when your skin is angry, inflamed, a bit out of balance. Also works very well for oily skin, I would say. I don't know if it helps with acne skin. I wouldn't go that far because it's a skin disease where I feel you might just need dermatological help. But certainly if you have sort of smaller blemishes or breakout areas, it just feels so hydrating, so soothing. You can just tell that your skin is not stressed out from any of the ingredients. Again, personal sensitivities aside. But for me, my skin just felt, it just felt like it got a little bit of a break from everything. And afterwards, it would just look so plump, so happy. I don't know how else to describe it. And I swear my redness issues were always noticeably reduced after using it. So these masks, fantastic. Super happy with them. Really need them back. in my life. And then the next product I want to talk about is another really fantastic Wish Trend product, the Claire's Fundamental Nourishing Eye Butter. This has quite a thick balm texture, which is something I usually avoid because my eyes don't do well with very oily or balmy textures. They tend to creep, the oils tend to kind of creep into my eyes, especially if I use them overnight and I wake up with very inflamed and red eyes. My eyes are super sensitive. And also they tend to give me milia. So, you know, these little tiny white dots that you sometimes get around the eyes that are really hard to get rid of. I have had one for a year now that I just can't get rid of. It's on my left eyelid and it's really annoying. So usually I stick to gel textures, but being the age that I am now, 42, I also noticed that the gels kind of don't cut it anymore. I just need something a little bit richer. So I keep trying heavier eye creams and eye balms, and it's really hard to find one that doesn't cause the issues that I have. But the Claire's Fundamental Nourishing Eye Butter is pretty much perfect. It's so good. A product that more people need to talk about. It does have that thicker balm texture, but once you melt it in between your fingers or you put it on your under eye area, it just melts really nicely into the skin and doesn't feel heavy anymore. And I think the reason why it doesn't irritate my eyes at all is that it really absorbs pretty much 100%. It doesn't leave any stickiness or oiliness. It's so, the texture, Wish Trend, I tell you, does something special with their textures. They're just always top notch. Again, why does Wish Trend not sponsor me? Because I just keep advertising for them for free. But honestly, if a product is good, a product is good. Who cares if you got it in PR or not? I don't even remember if I bought this or not. I think I got it in PR. I don't remember. But I love it. And I would repurchase it definitely because it's fantastic. It's very nourishing. It's super hydrating. I do feel it really helps to keep my eye area smoother. I do have the first wrinkles there that no eye cream in the world would probably be able to get rid of fully because, hey, that's just aging. But I feel that it just smooths out the smaller wrinkles that come more from dehydration and loss of moisture. And it also contains anti-aging peptides that do help to fortify the eye area, the under eye area, and also mugwort extract and brightening turmeric extract. So really nice ingredients, especially the peptides, I always appreciate. They help to firm the skin, keep it elastic, and just the texture is chef's kiss. Also fragrance-free, like all the Claire's Fundamental products. The whole Claire's Fundamental line is so, so good. I hope they will bring out a couple new products soon. And next up, another Wish Trend product. These are all from the time I still got PR from them. This is actually the product, the last product I got as PR, and that was, I think, 3 months ago. So I really enjoy that one. I still owe you a review on that one. I haven't written it yet, but I'm planning to in the next weeks. I still have to take the photographs actually for that one. Oops, lots to do. And I'm talking about the By Wish Trend Hydra Enriched Ampoule. Not many people have talked about this. They've kind of shown it when they received it as PR. Wish Trend tends to send to like 5,000 people, it feels like. Because I predominantly just follow other Asian beauty influencers and skin influencers, whenever Wish Trend releases a new product, it feels like my entire timeline is just the same product posted. So I always feel, should I post about this? I don't even know. I feel I'm already over the product before I even tried it. Because it's like, oh, everyone tries it. What's there to say for me? But this one, the thing is, it's really good. And I feel it's not being mentioned enough. I think the reason is because it is quite a simple formula. It is predominantly just for hydration, which, you know, the name kind of gives it away. But I feel, again, the texture is very special. It feels very light. I think it's fantastic for summer. If you have very dehydrated skin, this one I think would be a great one because it really does replenish loss of hydration in a way that not all sort of hydrating ampoules can do. This one, for me, is one of the most hydrating ones I've tried in a while. Almost sometimes too much for my skin, which is why I feel especially dry skin would probably do well with this. But if I use it sparingly and not every day, maybe like twice a week, to me, it's one of the most fantastic hydrating ampoules I've tried. tried. I've tried quite a few lately. Somehow there seems to be a new trend, sort of minimalist, solely hydrating ampoules. A lot of them are being released right now. People are looking for very minimalist, quote unquote, clean products at the moment. So seems to be a bit of a trend. This one, to me, stands out. The texture, it's more liquid on the liquid side. It's not that sort of thick, syrupy texture that we often get from hydration products. And it sinks into skin really deeply, doesn't leave any residue, plumps up the skin almost instantly, and just is very, very gentle. Alcohol-free, fragrance-free. It contains 70% polysaccharides derived from, what was it, aloe vera. I did write it down. And polysaccharides, I probably mispronounced that, but those are humectants. They are humectant sugar molecules, and they naturally occur in the skin. So it just kind of replenishes those. They are part of the so-called natural moisturizing factors. I did some translation work for a beauty brand lately, so I had to learn all about natural moisturizing factors and how to translate them into German. They are basically the humectants that naturally occur in your body, that keep your body nice and hydrated and your skin plumped up. What's another one? Hyaluronic acid basically is another one. So yeah, this one I can really recommend to, again, more sensitive skin. I feel it's very good for dehydrated dry skin, but also for combo skin that deals with dryness in the cheek area. And I feel it's a really nice summer ampoule because it is so lightweight while at the same time being very, very hydrating. And the next product that I, definitely need to talk about. I just read the title because I made my little list here and I was like, oh my God, yes, yes, please, let's talk about this one. Not that much buzz around it. I think it is very popular in Korea too. I always see it in Eunice's videos when she visits Olive Young. But international influencers, I guess because the brand doesn't really sponsor that many people. I got it as PR, but I got it from a K-beauty shop and chose it myself because I really wanted to try it. And it was for a sponsor post on Valentine's Day, what you can do as a single sort of to pamper yourself. And I felt the color, which is a very nice pink, would do really well for that theme. And I'm talking about the Aromatica Reviving Rose Infusion Treatment Toner. This is a bi-phase cream and rose infused essence toner. So it has two phases. One is the sort of rose watery, slightly oily, enriched with ceramides, for instance, face. And then you have a milky one. So the milky one is pink. So when you shake it and it combines, it looks like strawberry milk. So it's really pretty. It's in a really pretty glass bottle as well, sort of for frosted glass. I really like it. And Aromatica is an organic brand, a natural brand that also uses organic products. I don't think it's certified organic. They are also very eco-friendly. They're really doing quite a lot when it comes to trying to push for sustainability and sustainable packaging. Really quite impressive. They're also one of those brands that don't sell in China, so they are cruelty-free fully. And just, I really have enjoyed many of their products. I mostly tried samples. This is the first full-size product I had from them. And to me, this toner is one of the most moisturizing, not just hydrating, but moisturizing toners I've tried. It is still super watery. So it is sort of the same texture as the Laneige cream skin, or another cream skin I'm going to talk about. I don't want to mention it now because it's the next one on the list after this one. But I feel it's not quite as oily as the Laneige one, while at the same time being almost as moisturizing, maybe not quite as rich, but still for dry skin, for dehydrated skin, and as a winter toner in particular, I think one of the best toners I've tried in a while. A wonderful mix of moisturizing and hydrating ingredients. And it does contain fragrance, so it might not work for everyone. For me, it was still very gentle and my skin was very happy with it. Or it still is. Because this toner, I've talked to someone else who've tried it on Instagram, and we both agreed that this toner just doesn't seem to ever get empty. I've been trying it out for so long now. I use it regularly. It still feels like it's 2/3 full. So I will have this for a long time, I guess, and I'm very happy about it because it's a wonderful product. And I'll see if I can put a picture of it in the episode notes on my blog, which I always linked in the podcast description box, because you really have to have a look at the texture. Because it's so pretty, so cute and pink. It's wonderful. But also it works very well for the skin. So it's not just a pretty face. So this one, I would really love to see more people try out. It's not cheap. So it is a bit of a luxury item. It's like 40 or 50 euros, I think. But again, it lasts forever. So I guess the price is kind of okay. And it's fantastic. The next product, as I already hinted at, is also a cream skin toner. They are really quite trending at the moment. I've said this before. I feel that 2021 really is the year of toners. There's so many good toners have come out that are just texture-wise alone, so interesting. And this one, apart from the Aromatica one, might be the most interesting and, in fact, most hyped toner of 2021. So many people have been posting about it. The moment the brand released the first images, I knew instantly that this one would be a hit. And I'm talking about the Dr. Suricle Vegan Kombucha Essence. I am obsessed with this, in love with it. If I had to choose between this and the Aromatica one, I would say the Dr. Suricle Kombucha Essence is just a little bit better, but they're both fantastic. Like, one is a 10 out of 10 and the other is an 11. They're both really fantastic. Again, especially for dry skin. The Dr. Suricle one has the added benefit that it's fragrance-free, so it doesn't contain essential oils. The Aromatica one does, which again might not be for everyone. So I would say the Dr. Suricle one is a tiny bit more gentle, maybe on sensitive skin, potentially. The reason why I also love it a tiny bit more than the Aromatica one, if I had to choose, is because it just has this fantastic two-phase texture, which really does look like a super delicious milk tea, because they have a tea face with the kombucha, so fermented black tea extracts in it, and then a milk face. And then when you combine them, you shake them, they just look like a milk tea. So cute and so pretty. And just, again, I knew the moment they released the first images of the product, I knew it would be a success. This contains fermented black tea extract, but also ceramides. It contains oils, so it does feel super, super moisturizing. What I also really like about it is that it just feels so calming. Whenever my skin is, again, a little bit sensitized or red, this is the one I usually grab, especially if I also feel that my skin feels sort of lackluster and thirsty and maybe even a little bit on the dry side. Sometimes it can randomly get like that. I think it's just age kind of catching up. My skin going, you know what? I'm not going to produce my own oils anymore. No, I refuse. No more collagen. It's not going to happen anymore. So whenever that happens, my skin just looks a little bit sallow, I guess, and just needs a little bit of extra pampering. This is the one I grab. It is more of a hydrating toner. It's called an essence. Essence and toner, does it even mean anything anymore? I used to think those are very separate products. I'm now at a point where I feel that essence is just something. It is usually used for more anti-aging products, but it is used almost interchangeably for certain serums, certain watery essences, fermented essences, and also for what I would call a toner. So for me, the Vegan Kombucha Essence is more of a cream skin toner. So a very moisturizing, oil-enriched toner that also contains the fermented tea extract. So it is also good for your skin barrier, supporting your skin barrier, and the probiotics in it also help keep your microbiome, your skin's microbiome, healthy and happy to fight off any bad bacteria. So yeah, this one, I can really recommend it. I have reviewed it on the blog. I've also reviewed the Aromatica toner, actually, so check those out. I've also talked on Instagram about the differences between the two. To me, they're both wonderful products. Just beautiful to look at, too. Next up is another toner slash essence. As I said, 2021 is just the year of toners. I've tried so many, and there were very few that I disliked. They were all kind of fantastic. So sometimes I don't even know what to use anymore because there are five toners that I love equally, and it's kind of hard sometimes to choose. Again, first world problems. Considering that I always cry about how terrible my life is, And then I talk about the agony of choosing a Toto from five that I have. You know, I'm still, in German we say Leiden auf höchstem Niveau, which means suffering on a very high level. I guess that is quite true for me. I mean, the thing with the free products that you get is I sometimes have world-class skincare sitting on my vanity while at the same time I'm not sure if I can buy groceries for the week. This is why I prefer to be paid with money instead of product, because the absurdity of that sometimes just hits me. But anyway, I also do need the products to talk about them in my work, the podcast, for instance. So they are necessary. And also, it's always nice to just cover something new that is amazing. This product, this essence, actually is quite popular right now. I reviewed it on the blog a couple of months ago already. And all of a sudden, it feels that people are quote unquote discovering it. I'm guessing the brand is sponsoring a few larger name influencers, which is usually when people pick up on the product. And the one I'm talking about here is the Beauty of Joseon Ginseng Essence Water. Now, ginseng is a very popular ingredient in so-called Hanbang skincare, which is Korean skincare that is based on traditional Korean herbalism mostly. So they use traditional herbal extracts. Ginseng is a classic one. They also sometimes use ginger and certain roots and healing plants, mugwort would be another one. And the ginseng that the Hanbang brands, you know, the premium brands like Suhwasu, the History of Wu, those sort of $200 creams that mere mortals usually can't afford that easily. The sort of ginseng that these brands use is a very high quality medical grade red ginseng. The Beauty of Joseon Ginseng Essence Water, the ginseng that they use is not quite the same quality. Odile actually talked about this. I don't remember where it was, but I remember her mentioning it. Maybe it was in her stories. She didn't call out Beauty of Joseon, but she kind of hinted at certain brands using cheaper raw materials. And Beauty of Joseon has to be one of those brands because it is an affordable Hanbang skincare brand. The Beauty of Joseon Ginseng Essence Water is, I think, around $20, which is unheard of for any other high-quality ginseng product. I'm not saying that to dismiss them, because, again, this is one of my favorites at the moment. But I just want to curb expectations that this will be just like a Suhwasu essence. It's not on the same level. It's not as concentrated. And I believe the quality of the raw materials is also not quite as high and premium. But that also means it is affordable. And to me, Beauty of Joseon is a fantastic brand to try out Hanbang. And to, yeah, try out what ginseng can do for your skin without having to pay $200. So I actually think it is a good brand choice for people who are curious about Hanbang. Just again, don't expect it to be super miraculous and luxurious. The Beauty of Joseon Ginseng Essence Water contains a number of ginseng extracts from various parts of the ginseng. So also ginseng water, ginseng extract, ginseng root, just all sorts of parts of the plant. And it is a very watery essence. It has a very light, non-oily, non-sticky quality to it that I really enjoyed. I did feel I went through the product quite quickly, but again, I do feel it is very affordable, so I think that's super fine. Ginseng is supposed to be very good for maturing skin. It's supposed to vitalize skin, improve blood circulation. It can boost collagen production, although that is apparently only true for that medical grade red ginseng that the more expensive brands use. But it can also help improve skin tone and firmness. I'm saying it might, I'm not 100% sure there is scientific evidence, but I have read that it might also help with hyperpigmentation. So very interesting beauty ingredient. To me, the ginseng essence water was mostly a toner that felt hydrating without being heavy. And I did feel it gave my skin a refreshed look. Reviewed it on the blog, so you can read the full post. I went through the bottle really fast. Also, not just because I used a lot, but also because I used it very consistently for a long time. So you can tell that I really liked it. And I can see why a lot of people hype it up, whether they're sponsored or not. Because I would say it is one of the best watery toners that I've tried in the past months. So yeah, Recommend it for sure, especially if you're curious about Hanbang and Ginseng. I did not like the serum as much. So to me, the essence water is really the standout product because I've tried both. And next up on the list is the Hamish Moisture Surge Gel Cream. Now this one, I do, again, review it on the blog. So read the full review. But I did laugh when I got this in the mail because it is quite a shameless dupe of the very famous Clinique Moisture Surge. I think it's just called Moisture Surge Hydrator or something like that. But Moisture Surge, exact same name. And the packaging is quite similar. The texture looks very similar. So they were somewhat blatant. The way they copied that. I actually tried to find out if they had the same manufacturer, but I couldn't find out. And I don't think that Clinique produces in Korea. I don't think. For that one anyway, because their moisturizer has been around for quite a while. I actually used the Clinique one in my 20s. It was one of my favorite things to use. I would always splurge on the smaller size and then try to just use it for as long as I could because it was actually too expensive for me. This one, the Hamish one, comes in a much larger size. It's something 100 milliliters, so it's a huge pot, and it is cheaper overall than the Clinique one. I think both are really good moisturizers. I do feel if I have to choose, I would say the Hamish one, I like it a little tiny bit better. I feel it is a little bit more fresh on the skin. It feels very cooling. I use it a lot at the moment because we're having a bit of a smaller heat wave surging. So the Moisture Surge is a really good choice of moisturizer just because it is this super lovely, lightweight, melty, smooth gel cream. Just the texture that I love the most, pretty much. It is enriched with watermelon extract and also does contain, I believe, ceramides and a couple of oils. So it does have, you know, it packs a bit of a punch. So it isn't just watery. I think it works best for combo skin and dry skin. Combo skin and normal skin, I mean. Dry skin, I would say, probably won't get enough out of it. But if you're looking for a light summer moisturizer that feels a little bit cooling and refreshing, this is definitely one I would recommend. Fiddy from 50 Shades of Snails also likes this one a lot, so highly recommended by her too. And it is peachy pink, so it also looks really pretty. Next up, another moisturizer. This one I haven't really used that much lately because I feel it's more of a winter autumn moisturizer, but because I have used it so much, especially when winter was really cold and uncomfortable, I just was dying to talk about it. Again, not many people do talk about it. I feel it needs a lot more love because its texture is very, very unique. And the product I want to talk about is the Dr. Althea Resveratrol 345 NA Intensive Repair Cream. I feel the product name is a little bit terrible, but it's just maybe me, I don't know. Doesn't really roll off the tongue, does it? Dr. Althea is an indie derma brand that I have been discovering lately. I also just recently tried their sheet masks and loved them. They are kind of jelly. They're so interesting and wonderful. Oh, great. I don't know. More people need to talk about Dr. Althea. The Resveratrol cream, I'm not going to say the whole name again, contains, of course, the antioxidant resveratrol, which is usually one from grapes or red berries. It's a phytonutrient that can help combat signs of premature aging, especially those from UV damage. So it fights free radicals. The French pharmacy brand Caudalie uses resveratrol and has been using resveratrol in many of their products for a long time. And it's very interesting to now see Korean brands use it as well. It can apparently also help with redness and potentially help with brightening. The main thing why I really love this, I don't know if it really brightened my complexion, but what I can really say is the texture is so unique. I always struggle to even describe it. It does feel like a balm, so there's a certain occlusive heaviness to it. But when you apply it to the skin, it doesn't feel heavy at all. It has this smooth glide to it, and it just seems to really plump up my skin. I tend to use this almost like a sleeping cream, as a last occlusive step in my routine. And I feel for my combo skin, it works so great because it isn't as heavy. It doesn't have that petroleum jelly style heaviness that so many other of those types of sealing balm creams have. It still has that almost lotion texture, that milky texture. Oh, it's just, oh, it's so nice. Oh, really, guys, this one is so great. I think it does contain fragrance from what I remember. Again, I do talk about all of that on the blog, in the blog post I wrote about it, but I never had any problems with it. It felt very gentle on my skin, and I would repurchase this in a heartbeat. I still have a little bit left that I'm now saving for when the cold weather hits again in autumn. And just, it really helped my skin survive in winter. It was my number one, I would say my number one favorite product for winter 2020-21. So just highly recommend it. Great for dry skin and great as a moisturizer and sort of sealant when you want to seal in all the hydrating goodness. Really fantastic product. And then we go back to another essence / toner. Again, 2021. Year of essences. And I just reviewed so many on the blog and tried out so many that I had to mention them. And this one, another one that I love and that I feel is so unique that I just want to talk about it more. And it's the Misha Thyme Revolution Red Algae Treatment Essence. It basically contains, you know, it's one of those quote unquote one ingredient essences. It's not really just one ingredient, but it is mainly one ingredient that is dissolved in sort of a watery medium. You know, like all those mugwort essences, one thing type essences where one main ingredient is the focus. Or indeed The Ordinary kind of does that too. Names their products after one main ingredient, but of course the formula contains a couple of other ingredients. But anyway, this one doesn't contain mugwort. It contains Chondrus crispus extract, which is red algae or red Irish moss. Red algae contains sugar molecules that act as humectants, the same ones that I mentioned when I talked about the BioWish Trend hydro-enriched ampoules, so polysaccharides. I think another form of sugar molecule as well, they're a couple. So it is one of those water-grabbing, hydrating ingredients that draws water into your skin and sort of plumps it up. Similar to hyaluronic acid, basically. It's hydrating, it's plumping, and it's smoothing. And Chondrus crispus is also rich in minerals and also contains natural vitamin C, though it is always a question in how far your skin actually uses that vitamin C. But yeah, that's why algae and red algae in particular is actually quite a hyped skincare ingredient at the moment. The reason that I love this, again, is its texture mostly. This one just feels super hydrating. It has a bit of a slip to it. It does feel, I don't want to say oily, but it has that slippery feeling that you sometimes get from thicker toners, but it is super watery and light. So to me, this one is fantastic if you, again, are very dehydrated, if you don't like the thicker textures, if you don't like sticky or cloying toner textures. I also feel that it does seem to, I don't know, this might just be anecdotal, but I feel that it really helps with my first signs of aging. It just seems to give my skin a smoothness that I haven't seen with other toners. So I feel this one is also potentially good as a sort of first step anti-aging treatment essence. Mostly, I would say use this for hydration, intense hydration that doesn't feel heavy or cloying. Again, Fiddy from 50 Shades of Snail is also a huge fan. I really, really enjoy this and I would repurchase this 100%. Still got a little bit left, but I do go through the bottle quite fast because I just keep using it because I love it so much. Again, full review on the blog, so read through that and yeah, highly recommend it. I think it's sold out at the moment everywhere, so it seems to be popular and I can see why. All right, and the 11th product that I needed to put on the list, guys, I don't know if I can do, this is either going to be a mammoth episode or I need to cut it again into two episodes. We'll see what happens. I'm just going to record it and then decide what to do. But the 11th edit product that I needed to definitely talk about is, guess what? It's another toner. Surprise, surprise. Why are they all toners? I know why, because it's the year of toners. And this one, it's impossible to not mention this one because right now in this hot weather, this is my go-to, godsend, beloved, adore this one. It's perfect for combo red, inflamed, sensitive, dehydrated, just stressed out, overheated skin. It's the CRS My First Essena. This is an essence toner hybrid. So essence toner, Essena. It's a little bit, I find it a bit gimmicky, the name, but okay. I give them that. I love CRS. So if they need a gimmicky name for this fantastic product, then so be it. So CRS, I don't know if I've said this on the podcast yet or even on Instagram, but CRS is now Cosmos Organic certified. If you're curious what that actually means, I have a whole episode on organic skincare and certification and how to look for actual real organic skincare versus the sort of natural beauty wishy-washy sort of statements that some brands bring out. This product, the First Essena, contains 47.5% organic green tea water and mugwort leaf extract combined with rose damascene flower water, glycerin, so a wonderful, very simple but very, very effective humectant, and three types of hyaluronic essence. So packed full, really chock full of humectant goodness in a very minimalist formula that still feels very elegant. It's interesting because when I saw the first press images of the Essena, I thought it would be watery, but it actually has a sort of thicker gelatinous texture. So it does have a bit of a body to it, a viscous substance to it. And it feels super hydrating. While at the same time, I would say this is one of the most refreshing products I have sitting on my vanity at the moment, which is why I use it so much in this hot weather. And also thanks to the mugwort, the green tea water. I think there was something else in there as well that was soothing and anti-inflammatory. Maybe it was panthenol. I would have to look it up again. Again, full reviews on the blog. Yes, I've been very busy. This just feels so calming. One of the most calming products, full stop, that I have in my rotation at the moment. And I also always feel that when I put this on my face and it has absorbed, there is a sort of a, I don't want to say a glow because that's not quite it, but I remember when I was younger, in my 20s, I would say, you know how when you're younger, you have that natural, youthful freshness? Maybe that's what it is that you don't have anymore once you reach your mid-30s. You have other things that make you look just fine. So I don't want to imply that aging is somehow scary or that only young people are beautiful, because it really is something that grinds my gears when people say that. But you just don't have that, yeah, I would say a freshness that sort of comes from within anymore. And I swear, again, this is totally anecdotal, but I swear whenever I use the First Essena, after I've used it and then look in the mirror, I always see my 20-year-old self looking back at me. Just this youthful freshness that comes from this product. I don't know what it is. Might be my imagination, or maybe it's magic. I'm not sure. But I only see it when I use this. Maybe it's a mugwort. Maybe it's the green tea. Who knows? But this product is so fantastic. And I, again, hope that more people talk about it. It was kind of buzzy when it first launched because Credit Think, which is a large online K-beauty shop, sent it out to quite a lot of influencers. Not to me. I got it from Skinsider, which is a British K-beauty shop. They were very kind to gift it to me because I was so keen to try it. So when they wrote to me and said, hi, how are you doing? I kind of very subtly, very non-subtly actually, begged them if maybe they would send it to me because I couldn't afford it. Because I have to say, if there's anything negative I have to say about this product, which I really do love, is that I find it quite pricey because it is a very small bottle. I didn't realize when I got it in the mail, because it's technically a toner, right? So usually it should come in a, I don't know, 150 or 200 ml bottle. Well, this is 100 ml. So half or two thirds of what I expected. And I think it costs something like 30 euros. $35. So I think it's a bit overpriced. It is organic, and I know that always means it's more expensive. And I know that CRS does really put a lot of emphasis on fresh seasonal ingredients. So a lot of their products actually go out of stock when a certain harvest is over. It's very, very interesting. This brand is so interesting. The founder is also so lovely. I see him on Instagram a lot, and he just seems such a sweet man that really cares about the environment and cares about really developing products that are good for the people, good for the environment. I don't know. I have a lot of love for CRS, and I have a lot of love for this toner, but I do think it might keep people from trying it because it is just the small bottle is a little bit of a shock if you actually pay over $30. It's just what I think. But please, if you can afford it, and if you have sensitive skin, if you struggle with redness, if you want more antioxidants in your routine, and also need something that really hydrates without feeling cloying, this one, fantastic. And apparently for that magical, youthful freshness, again, I don't know where that comes from, but again, just every time I use it, I don't know, maybe it really is just magic or delusion. That might be, it's also... might be a possibility. All right, let's move on to my wish list items. So all those Key Beauty products that I am currently eyeing up that I've added to my wish list that I haven't tried yet, but feel that they might be pretty amazing. And the first one on my list is, this is a clean beauty brand. And I have to say, I'm usually not that into the clean beauty marketing, but I feel with this brand, so far, I don't think they've overdone the whole clean beauty spin. I would say that they mostly stress and emphasize that they are vegan, plant-based, and also eco-conscious, and I have to say the products just seem really interesting. I say seem as if I haven't tried any yet, but actually when I wrote that list, I hadn't yet, but by now I have tried two products from the brand. I think it's called Super Green Skincare Duo. It's an ampoule and a cream, and the cream in particular, watch this space. I will definitely review this one. Have to also show it on my Instagram a little bit more. I did do a reel of the two products on Instagram. You can check those out. Beautiful. Oh, so good. But anyway, the brand that I'm talking about is called Bar Cosmetics. And the product that I really want to try out and haven't yet is the Bar Cosmetics Centella Calming Ampoule Toner. This is just... this is a really thick hydrating toner. And I just feel it would be super nice to have, especially come autumn when your skin needs a little bit more richness. I have heard from people who have tried the entire Centella Calming line from the brand. Most of them say that the toner is the standout product, which I kind of suspected anyway when I looked at the range. They have an essence, which is more like a serum. They also have a cleanser and something else. Oh, a cream. I think the cream is very well reviewed as well. To me, the toner is just the most interesting product because the texture looks gorgeous. It has a sort of almost like a serum texture as well. I think the essence and the toner are probably quite similar. And given that the toner comes in a large bottle, the serum in a smaller bottle, and they're almost the same price, I just feel you get more bang for your buck in a way. And, you know, I always go for the hydrating toners anyway. And it's 2021, so it's the year of toners, so obviously. Ingredients-wise, this contains 80% Centella Asiatica extract. So great for anti-inflammatory action, great for redness, for inflamed skin, for people struggling with sort of the healing of breakouts or acne when it sort of starts calming down, but just needs a bit more of a boost for wound healing, faster wound healing. Centella is great for that. Centella is also great for skin barrier repair. Just a wonderful all-round K-beauty superstar. This also contains panthenol, ceramide, so it's not just hydrating, but also provides moisture. So great for dry skin. Hyaluronic acid, heart leaf extract, I never know how to pronounce that. Hutuinia, I think. Cordata, which is still a very, very trending ingredient in K-Beauty. The toner is also free from any alcohol and it's fragrance free. I think this just should be super soothing. I think it would be great if you have a damaged skin barrier, if you just want to nourish and calm and soothe your skin. I think it would be a fantastic minimalist toner also, again, for those guys that are scared of, I don't know, suddenly being too feminine when they use skincare. I don't know. Again, I don't actually subscribe to any of these gender norms, but I do think if we can find a way to ease skincare resistant men into a skincare routine, then we should do what we can, especially to make them use sunscreen, but also a bit of hydration. So I think this one would be great for men. And just the look of the brand is very gender neutral. Again, very minimalist. Yeah, I would say this could just be, I don't know, I have a feeling this is a hidden gem. Bar Cosmetics is currently starting to trend on the market. I see them being mentioned more and more. I only recently discovered them because I saw that they're being sold at Min Cosmetics, which is in a European K-beauty shop that I've worked with, and I saw the products and thought, oh, that sounds actually really good. Just the ingredients lists read very promising. So I have my eye on this one. I have a little sample of it that I'm going to try soon. And yeah, I'll keep you updated also on the two super green products, which so far I really like. So Bar Cosmetics, I think this is a brand to watch. Next on the list is, I have to say, these products I feel have been on my wish list for 2 years now. Ever since I tried the Centella Ampoule that my mom got me in, 2019, autumn 2019, when we could all still travel. My mom went to Korea and brought me a couple of products. She doesn't like me mentioning her in a podcast, but she never listens to the podcast, so I guess she'll never find out. Yeah, she brought me a couple of things back, which was so nice. And one of them was the B-Plane Centella Ampoule. It is still the only B-Plane product I've tried. B-Plane is another brand, quite similar actually to Bar Cosmetics, that uses a sort of clean, eco-friendly, minimalist type marketing that, again, I'm always a bit suspicious of. But also, the products just all look really good. My review of the Centella, was it Centella? I think it was called Cica Ampoule, but it does contain Centella Asiatica. So the Cica Ampoule, I did review that on the blog, so I'll make sure to link that as I do all the reviews in the episode notes. I did really like that one. Very, very calming and soothing. And I just really want to try more from the brand. The two products that I really just finally want to try are the B-Plane Greenful pH Balanced Cleansing Foam and the B-Plane Chamomile pH Balance Toner. Now, both of these are so popular in Korea. They're pretty much always on the top 10 spots of the Olive Young best-selling lists and have been, I think, pretty much consistently since 2019. People just seem to love them, and I can see why, because with the cleanser, I feel this could be a great one for very, very sensitive skin. It doesn't seem to be very aggressive, and it has a very interesting texture. It contains mung bean, I think, extract. I don't think it has the ground up mung bean. I think it doesn't have a scrubbing action, but it does look a little bit almost grainy. And it is a foamy cleanser, but it seems to be one that doesn't foam as aggressively. And it contains Centella Asiatica too. It is fragrance and alcohol free. I just think for the texture alone, I really want to just try it. But also, I'm feeling so many Koreans love this one. And especially during the pandemic, it was very trending and very hyped up as a gentle cleanser when you have maskne. So I feel so many Koreans loving it cannot be wrong. And the same is true for the Chamomile pH Balance Toner. That was another one of those products that really got a huge boost in sales during the pandemic when more and more Koreans were looking particularly for skin barrier respecting, hyper minimalist, super carefully formulated, sensitive skin friendly skincare. And the Chamomile Toner just, the sales numbers just exploded basically. Because I always kind of check the bestseller lists at Olive Young. You can use Google Translate and you can kind of navigate your way through the website without speaking Korean. And this one is always on top. I think it's still on top, pretty much, especially in the Tona section. It contains, of course, 80% Roman chamomile flower extract. Chamomile, as a German, I know it very well because chamomile tea is the classic tea that you get when you're sick as a child, especially with a cold or flu. It's high in antioxidants. It's said to be anti-inflammatory. You usually also use chamomile tea as a form of, what do you call that? When you, basically what you do, maybe you just don't have that in England, in the English-speaking world, that is. What we do usually, or at least my family used to do that, traditional family cold and flu recipe. You get a big bowl, a large bowl, fill it up with water and chamomile flowers, or you make chamomile tea, fill it in that bowl, and you put your face over that bowl and you use a towel to trap the steam and you inhale deeply for maybe 5 to 10 minutes. And the idea is that the chamomile steam goes into your sinuses and helps to cleanse out all the gunk in there, and it has an antibacterial and anti-inflammatory effect on the inflamed sinuses. So I definitely very strongly believe in the healing powers of chamomile, maybe just because I grew up with it as a childhood remedy for all sorts of ailments. But this also contains other goodies for the skin apart from the chamomile. Centella asiatica, again, fig extract, which is moisturizing. Licorice root extract, which is skin brightening. Allantoin, which is, I think this is also derived from chamomile from what I remember. It's soothing, it's a soothing extract. And glycerin for hydration, plus ceramides for moisture. It sounds like a very well-rounded product. I also find the lotion from the same range, the chamomile lotion, very interesting. Just Be Plain keeps being a brand that I'm very interested in. Next up on my wish list, a product that I almost tried, but due to Star Korean never shipping my order, it never arrived, and then I needed the money for something else, so I didn't place a new order. It wasn't meant to be, I guess, but I am still super keen to try it, and it's the Centellion 24 Medica Star Talk Serum. Now, they have a very evocative marketing slogan for this serum. When I researched it and its ingredients, it says, "Like your skin hugging the spotlight." Well, that's some serum, but it is a very popular product in Korea. It's been hyped up. I think the hype is almost over again, so I don't see it around that much. But for a while, Centellion 24 was trending specifically with this serum. It is a firming, illuminating, brightening, and deeply moisturizing product, according to what I've heard. It's also great to boost skin barrier function. Now, the reason why I find this so interesting is that it uses a special liposome delivery system to help those hydrating and anti-aging ingredients to be absorbed deeper into the skin. Liposomes? I don't know how to pronounce it. I should have looked that up, but I didn't. Let's stick to liposome. Let's commit to that. Basically, liposomes are... Okay, I'm probably not gonna get this scientifically accurate, but bear with me with my amateur understanding of it. They are like tiny bubbles that are made out of the same material as our cell membranes. They are used mostly to deliver certain drugs more effectively into our bodies, because if the material around the drug is similar to our cell membranes, then the body won't attack the new material that enters our bodies. Basically, that's the idea. So it's easier to get it deeply into our bodies, or when you use it in skincare, to get something deeper into our skin layers, right? Now, it's interesting because I know that liposome technology is used quite a lot when it comes to European brands. I remember reading about it and hearing about it a lot, almost, I want to say, as far back as the 90s. And it's become, I don't know, somewhat old-fashioned, maybe. I just have never heard many brands boast about using liposome technology. So to me, it's really interesting that it seems to become a trend again, because the system, the logic behind it makes sense to me from an amateur perspective. that it would be a good way to get certain, maybe less easily penetrable molecules, ingredient molecules, deeper into the layers of the skin. So to me, this is very fascinating and interesting. Misha also uses this technology, for instance, for their vitamin C serum, which is also super popular and also on my wish list, by the way. this serum, mostly, it's in the name, it uses metacassocyte mostly as a main ingredient, which is a component of Centella Asiatica. So this is another Centella serum. Centella has been just so popular this year. Remember how I talked about it as far back as 2018? Now it's just back as popular, if not more popular than ever. And in this particular serum, it's also combined with mugwort again, niacinamide, which is good for brightening, and peptides. So this is not just a soothing and hydrating serum, but should also be great for anti-aging benefits. It just sounds like a great all-rounder product. It has a very interesting looking texture too. I really hope I can try it at some point. And next on my wish list, the Dr. G Red Blemish Clear Soothing Cream. This just, again, I feel has been on my wish list forever. And it just keeps looking more and more interesting and more appealing to me. I know that Odile is a great fan of Dr. G products. And this cream in particular, she has been talking about quite a lot on her blog. It is also one of the most popular moisturizers in Korea, again, especially during the pandemic. And I would say the texture is probably one of the main reasons for that. It is a gel texture, but it seems to be one of those gel creams that on the one hand feels very lightweight, very watery. It almost seems to disappear on the skin. Whenever I see texture shots of it, it looks like it just basically melts into the skin and becomes a sort of watery, almost like a toner texture when you apply it. But it still is apparently very popular even for with dry skin people. It also seems to be very popular when you have acne prone skin because again, it has a slight texture, but also provides enough moisture to nourish the skin and keep the skin barrier intact. Many people also say that it feels very cooling on the skin. So it is, of course, popular in summer, but I also see it constantly trending during winter. So again, it makes me suspect that despite being so lightweight, it still has very deeply moisturizing effects for the skin. It contains niacinamide, glycerin, beta-glucan, another very trusty humectant, again, Centella Asiatica, plus also all sorts of Centella Asiatica compounds. So soothing, moisturizing, super hydrating, calming probably, anti-inflammatory, has a bit of antioxidant power too. It is also fragrance and alcohol free, so should be great for sensitive, acne prone, oily skin types, but also for dehydrated skin and those skin types that prefer lighter textures. And again, tops the bestseller lists continuously in Korea, and Koreans know their skincare, so I think this one must be amazing. Next up, a product that I've actually already talked about in the last episode because it's a sunscreen and it's one of the good ones. It's the Round Lab Birch Juice Moisturizing Sun Cream with SPF 50+. So this one has been reformulated and renewed after the previous version was affected by the sunscreen scandal. So that one has been taken off the market. The new one is manufactured by Colmar Korea, which is one of the ODMs, so original manufacturers that are renowned actually for how good their sunscreen formulations were. Again, I talked about all of this in the previous episode, so make sure to listen to that if you haven't yet. Pretty much all of the Colmar Korea sunscreens passed with flying colors during the scandal. So they really, I think, I said this to Odile when we talked on Instagram, Colmar must be making bank now because all of the newer sunscreens are now formulated by Colmar Korea, and I feel they're just the one that got out of the scandal. Just, they must be feeling so great because they're like, yeah, we know our shit. We know our stuff. You, all of you weird manufacturers who don't actually know how to manufacture a sunscreen, we can only laugh at you because our sunscreens were all amazing. So I feel everyone is now hiring Colmar Korea, and so far they haven't disappointed. This one has been retested, has been confirmed to be the SPF rating that it says it is by Insook An, who has a YouTube channel and who tested a number of sunscreens. She is a dermatologist who has an official testing lab for these things, so she knows what she's talking about. And a lot of influencers are now, of course, jumping on trying this one because it's been in the news so much, and they all pretty much have agreed that it is a fantastic texture, absorbs very well. It does seem to be quite rich, so it might work better for drier skin types. I would still like to try it out. It might be too rich for me, but I'm just very curious because it has been hyped so much. One of the trending best-selling products at the moment in Korea, so Koreans also really love this one. Next up, the Habib Heartleaf Spot Pad Calming Touch. Such a weird name, but I have a big love in my heart for Habib, another clean beauty brand. It is just something that's trending at the moment in Korea. If you don't know what the problems are when it comes to clean beauty, Lab Muffin talks about this quite a lot. Mostly, a lot of the stuff that they market and the sort of advertising language they use contains a lot of fear-mongering and a lot of misinformation when it comes to certain ingredients. So clean beauty is problematic, but also, again, I have to say, if the products are good, the products are good. And I feel Habib is a really good brand. So popular in Korea. This particular product, the toner pads with heartleaf, have top bestseller lists at Olive Young, not just for the toner category, not just for the toner pad category. They were number one for all products at Olive Young for a really long time. So to me, that really says something about how good these products have to be. These are basically toner pads. They are soaked in mostly heartleaf essence. So again, Hutuinia cordata, also a couple of hydrating ingredients, humectants. I would say these must be so gentle, so soothing, super, super calming, fantastic if you have maskne, if you have acne problems, just when you have that angry skin, when your skin is just really angry at yourself for maybe overdoing it with your peelings. No judgment from me, because I just recently did that. My skin just looked a little bit too squeaky clean from being a little bit too diligent with all sorts of actives. So that, I think, is when those toner pads from Habib could be pretty fantastic. And I do really love my toner pads, I have to say. I don't have any at the moment in my stash, so that must be remedied. Yeah, so these ones, I feel they might not be super spectacular in what they do, but as a minimalist, soothing and calmly hydrating minimalist product, I really am very intrigued about them. Okay, next up, something quite surprising from a Korean brand, because usually Korean skincare doesn't use many actives, but Dr. Different, which is, I don't know if they're a new brand or if they're just newly popular. I have to admit, I didn't research that enough. I think they are new, full stop, and they have been just, everyone has been buzzing about them in Korea because they actually produce retinol products. And retinol and any sort of retinol derivative, not that popular in Korea. Now, at least when it comes to freely available products. I don't know if they, I'm guessing they have, just like us here in Europe, and I think also in the US, you have prescription-only tretinoin, which is the most readily available and most readily convertible. Is that the right word? I'm not sure. The most easily used form of retinol for the skin. I think it might be a prescription only, maybe drug in Korea as well. But I do know that when it comes to actives, you can't easily use them in higher dosages in Korea. I think there are certain laws making that difficult, or used to make it difficult. And along comes Dr. Different, and they have a whole range of vitamin A products. So retinol, or rather, to be precise, and we should be precise, retinol creams and products. Now, retinol is the second derivative after tretinoin. So it goes, I should have looked this up because I don't know it by heart, sorry, and I didn't write it down, but tretinoin is the most directly usable, as it were, form of vitamin A that the skin can basically use, and it causes all these intense, potentially intense reactions at the beginning where you get peeling and super dry skin, and it's quite a strong active, which is why usually it's prescription only in many countries, or at least you usually get it in pharmacies only. And retinol is the second step, so it is actually more effective than retinol, which is what many brands use. Retinal also supposedly is gentler than especially tretinoin, but also I've heard even gentler than retinol, which makes me wonder, why doesn't every brand use retinal? Who knows? Maybe it's a more expensive raw ingredient. So retinal at the moment, quite the buzzy skincare ingredient. I know Geek & Gorgeous also uses retinal in their anti-aging serums because, again, it seems to be that perfect mix of gentle for an active, but also more effective than some of the other derivatives of vitamin A. Now, the cream that I'm interested in from Dr. Different is the Vitalift A Iron Neck Cream. And I honestly mostly want to use it for my eyes. I'm really looking for something to help me with those eye wrinkles, and I would love to see what this one can do. This one is very popular in Korea. I think, again, it's one of those in the top 10, bestseller list top 10. Apparently, it's very gentle, again, considering that it's an active, gentle enough to be used around the eye area, which you can't do with straight up tretinoin that easily. And it just sounds really fantastic. The only thing with this one is it's not cheap. It costs something like $50, and it's a tiny, tiny tube. It's like 20 or 30 mils. So that's a bit off-putting. But I'm eyeing up Dr. Different because, again, if the Koreans like something, you know it's got to be good. We're almost through the list, but a few more that I want to mention at least, especially those that might not be that well known yet. And I think the next product on my wish list is still not that well known. It's starting to be more buzzy around this brand because they're starting to send out PR to global influencers. They didn't want to work with me. I actually wrote to them because I was so curious about the brand. I think they're looking for large name people. So hopefully one day I can just, you know, buy the products. And the brand that I'm talking about is called Needly. And the product that I'm most interested in, I kind of want to try most of their products. They just look so interesting. Their packaging also on point. But the one I'm most interested in, if I had to choose only one, it would be the Needly Mild Cleansing Gel. I saw this actually on Sue Beauty's channel. I don't know if you follow her on YouTube. She's a wonderful Korean influencer who features a lot of very interesting, not as well-known brands. She's very good at hunting those new, smaller, interesting Korean beauty products. I think she watches a lot of Korean home shopping, and I feel this is where the trends are really being made. And of course, yeah, I don't have access to that. And she's actually Korean, so she knows 1,000 times more than I will ever do when it comes to K-beauty. And she's wonderful. I can really recommend her channel. I should link her. You probably already all know her. She's very well known. But yeah, she featured the mild cleansing gel, and as soon as I saw that fantastic rectangular packaging, I was in love. But then also, according to Sue, it's a really good cleanser. It's very gentle and apparently great for sensitive skin. Again, it has that cool, sleek, minimalist, unisex look that I think just appeals to so many people. And another product that I really want to try is the Jumiso Waterful Hyaluronic Cream. It's not like I don't have enough creams and cream gels at the moment. I have like 3 or 4 different ones. One that I really like at the moment and almost added to my what's on my vanity sort of list is also the Make Prem Watery, I forgot what it's called, Watery Save Me Watery Gel Cream or something like that. Oh, it's so good. But this one, the Waterful Hyaluronic Cream, also just, I'm just here for the texture. I don't even need to know what's in it. I just see the texture and I know I'm going to love it. But also it contains hyaluronic acid, so it's probably going to be very hydrating. And Jumiso, another one of those brands that I keep seeing. I've been aware of it for years, but somehow I've never tried their products. And it is about time. I know that their sheet masks are super hyped, their vitamin C serum, a lot of people like it for brightening. And this cream, I just feel that it would be great for summer in particular. And great, again, for that oily combo type skin. Also seems to be very gentle. Apart from hyaluronic acid, it also contains, because I did look up the ingredients, of course, I don't just go for the texture. I do research the ingredients. It also contains fermented extracts. I'm always here for that. Great for skin barrier health. Probiotics, especially bifida ferment lysate. Again, great for, I keep saying again and again and again. I keep saying again. Great for skin barrier health plus the health of your microbiome, the health of your good bacteria. It supports the good bacteria and thus helps fight off the bad bacteria. And malachite extract, which for some reason is very popular at the moment. I see it in many ingredient lists. I still can't find out if it actually does anything. Malachite is a gemstone, basically. So I don't know what it does. Ward of evil? I'm not sure. But I just wanted to mention it because, yeah, it's been in at least 5 or 6 products lately where it seems to be a trend for something. I'll keep an eye on it until I realize what it actually does. But yeah, this one, the toner also from the line, the hyaluronic acid toner, those two together, I just feel would be a really fun combo to try with minimalist but very to the point skin barrier supporting hydrating ingredients. Just praying that I get my hands on the cream especially. Okay, last but certainly not least, this one. I haven't seen anyone talk about this one besides, again, Sue Beauty. She mentioned it, and the moment she talked about it, I got intrigued because she was so hyped up about it. I always feel once Sue really likes something, she really commits to it. And whether she's sponsored or not, I 100% believe her when she says a product is good. I don't know. There's something very authentic about her that I don't know. When she's hyped about something, that is just so contagious to me. And I go, okay, I'm going to add that to the wish list. And the product is the Numbers In, which is written very weirdly, but I think it's pronounced Numbers In, number 3, Buddel Repair Serum. Now, I don't know what Buddel means. I'm guessing it's some form of Korean onomatopoeia, maybe. Like chok chok. I'm guessing it's something like that. Let me know if you speak Korean because I'm really curious. Namisin, I feel they came kind of out of nowhere. All of a sudden, they were storming the bestseller list. One of their toners is also doing very well at Olive Young at the moment. I don't know. I'd never heard about them and now suddenly they're everywhere. Maybe it's also just serendipity because, you know, when your brain sees something, then suddenly it sees it everywhere. Maybe it's that. I'm really not sure. But one to watch, I think. And this serum, it seems to be something that probably will feel very gently hydrating on the skin from what I've seen when it comes to the texture. It is very runny, transparent, non-sticky. And I just know that Sue said, and again, I believe Sue, somehow she just seems like a trustworthy person. She's so much fun. Honestly, watch her videos. She's great. If you haven't seen it yet, because I feel it's one of those open secrets, probably, because she has like 200,000 subscribers. But just in case you haven't subscribed to her yet, highly recommend it. She was so enthusiastic about how plumping this is. And I can see why, because it contains quite a lot of humectants. And also, and this is, I think, where the oomph and the sort of wow factor comes from, bifida ferment and galactomyces. So fermented extracts that help to brighten skin and to boost skin health. It also contains niacinamide, which we all know is an all-rounder ingredient, great for brightening, pore care, refining skin texture, just wonderful. Put it in everything. And then something I found very interesting and haven't seen in a while, I would say, as an ingredient, goat milk extract, which is skin replenishing. It's great for sensitive skin. It can even help when you have problems with flakiness. So this could be a really good serum to choose when you have sort of dull skin. Maybe even dry skin could benefit from it. And just in general, if you're looking for a little bit of youthfulness and freshness and just a brighter, happier skin look. I have a feeling this one will be storming the Instagram feeds of influencers very soon. And I kind of want to get in on the trend before it explodes. So I really want to try it. The brand is not super affordable. It's not terrible. It's certainly not one that you just kind of put in your cart easily. So I think it was around $30 or something. I'm hoping I see a deal on it or something because, yeah, this one and one of their toners, I think it was the number 3 toner. That's the one that's currently trending in Korea. So those two are both on my list. And yeah, I hope I can try them. Watch this space, I guess. Guys, this was very long. I'm starting to go hoarse. But we are at the end of the giant catch-up episode. I feel I could have easily mentioned at least twice the amount of products. There's just been so many good products lately, and there's a lot coming soon, which of course means we probably need a new catch-up very soon. Hint, hint. But for today, this is where we end today's episode. I hope that you enjoyed today's big, juicy Key Beauty catch-up. Maybe you discovered some new products. Maybe you could share in my joy if you have tried any of the products and you maybe thought, oh my God, finally someone is also talking about this product. And I also hope it just helped you to relax a little bit if you are as emotionally stressed as I have been, as anxious. I hope you're safe. I hope you can get the vaccine wherever you live. And I hope if you are hesitant to get the vaccine, that maybe me sharing my experiences. I realize I'm always a bit of a blunt German when it comes to vaccine hesitancy. I get angry at people who spread misinformation about it, but I really hope that if you are unsure, on the fence, that maybe me sharing my experiences might have calmed you down a bit, especially knowing that I myself am always a bit anxious when it comes to medication. I'm just so grateful that this exists, and let's just all keep our masks on and just pray if you do believe in praying, or otherwise just stay hopeful that we'll all get through the next months. They might be a little bit harder, but yeah, I hope at least today brought you a little bit of a mental break maybe. And yeah, I hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you are interested in more content from me, make sure to visit my blog Sugar Peaches Loves at sugarpeachesloves.net. This is also where you find the episode notes. They are linked in the podcast description with all the products mentioned. Whenever I can find any shopping links, I will add them. You can listen and subscribe to this podcast on all available platforms everywhere. Spotify, Apple, Stitcher, what else exists? I don't even know, but it's on all of the platforms. Thanks to my podcast provider Anchor. They're really great, and especially they're free, which is fantastic. I would be super happy, so happy, if you could support the podcast by sharing the episodes, especially on Instagram. I always love seeing you tag me and talk about how you felt about the episode. So that always makes me very happy. You can share it on Twitter, anywhere on social media. And of course, if you have the time, it would be fantastic if you could leave a 5-star review. It really helps people to find the podcast. There's another podcast with K-Beauty in its name now, which is currently ranking better than mine because they've been more active these past months. So it's quite hard to find my podcast at the moment. It's kind of my own fault because I wasn't regularly uploading. But yeah, ratings really boost the search engine connection and make it easier for new people to find the podcast. So I'm always very grateful for that. If you want to support my work as a blogger, writer, podcaster, content creator more directly financially, it's always a bit awkward to talk about this, but I'm rather dependent on my freelance income, completely, in fact, now. Yeah, that's all I have. It really helps. It is absolutely not a must, but it really helps if you use the affiliate links from my blog. They always have a little star next to it because I want to make sure that I'm transparent. And it doesn't cost you any extra money. It just means that I get a small commission, usually around, it can be anything from 3 to 10%. And it really helps. It is still just a small amount per month, but it does make a difference. And again, it doesn't cost you any extra. This is why I always feel that affiliate links are a great way to support creators of your choice. I do also have a Buy Me a Coffee, what's it called? Ko-fi page that I usually link in the podcast description, where you can also donate if you like directly. All of this is, of course, not obligatory, but I at least need to put it out there into the universe that it exists. And someone did donate last time, very generously, and that was so sweet. So thank you to the person who donated. I did thank you on my Ko-fi page as well, but I just wanted to point it out again. I never read names because I never know if people want to be named, but your donation was highly appreciated, and I really always feel very grateful and very humbled when people support me that way. So thank you so much for that. I really am glad that I managed to update today. It felt really nice to just chat into the void, and I just always imagine couple of people sitting or maybe walking around or sitting there with a cup of coffee and just, I don't know, knitting or doing something really nice, cross stitching or petting their cats while they listen to me ramble on about K-beauty. And it feels nice to imagine that. So again, I just hope that maybe I brought you a little bit of a carefree moment and maybe you discovered some new K-beauty gems. I really hope that I will be back with a new episode. I really can't wait to interact with you and hear how you felt about this episode. And I really hope to see you again soon. And until then, happy masking, layering, and petting. Bye, guys. And thank you so much. Thank you. Take care. Stay safe, please. Wear your masks. Get your vaccine, please. Bye.